I'm Angela Rippon, and I'm with Alex Levchuk on Siren FM.
Thank you very much, Angela. Now, you may well ask, what is the connection between Angela Rippon and Bobby Davro? When you ask that, Philippa?
Sure. What's the connection?
Okay. What is the connection, Bobby Davro, between yourself and Angela Rippon? He's gone.
I know Angela Rippon. We were watching Jack Jones with the lovely singer. What's her name?
It's wonderful. I was thinking Dancing on Ice. That's all. It was just.
Was thinking of something else. It was Angela Rippon, and I was in a box at the London Palladium watching the great Jack Jones. With that wonderful, who was the wonderful singer that used to sing Memories?
Are we talking about Elaine Page?
That's the one I'm thinking of. We were sharing a bottle of champagne and watching Jack Jones. There you go, that's a bit of trivia for you.
Bobby, it's an absolute delight to connect with your good self today. And I know you're on tour, which is and doing some wonderful things there. We've got to ask you, first and foremost, in The Wizard of Oz, how's the performance going?
It's going very, very well. It's a terrific show, actually, as it happens. It's doing very good business. I'm amazed that so many people come and see a pantomime at Easter, because normally it's at Christmas, but... it was a good choice to do, and I did it last year, and it was so much fun that we decided to do it again this year. It's going very, very well.
Which is splendid, and obviously you're heading up to Darlington, known for the fact that Lincoln beat them 5-0 recently, but that's okay. You know, it's a different line entirely. You'll be up for it from that point of view.
It gives me a chance to dust off my... I play the Scarecrow, so it gives me a chance to dust off my Words of Gummidge impression, so it does.
I was going to ask you, Bobby, were you channeling John Pertwee, or was it more a case of going back to the original Wizard of Oz movie? But clearly,
No, it's definitely John Pertwee, because I needed a character for the Scarecrow. I used to do a lovely Wurzel Gummidge, and he was one of my favourite characters that I did back in the late 80s, and I decided to resurrect him, and I decided to watch a few of those lovely Wurzel Gummidge videos, and then the voice came again, and, you know, you'll find me long dead, shattered dead, so I am.
It's spooky. It's spooky in every sense of the word. Philippa, questions for Bobby.
Sure. What was it like working with Torvald and Dean on Dancing on Ice?
I wasn't on very long, was I? I needed one dance.
Angela Rippon, Bobby Davro.
I got beaten by Heather Mills McCartney. She got through to the second leg. No pun intended, of course. And I couldn't figure out how one person with one leg could do better than I, but she did, and there you go. I was rubbish.
I shall echo Angela's lines where she also went out in the first round.
She asked me, and Torvald and Dean said, it's all about your journey. I said, well, as long as my journey's not in an ambulance to the hospital after I broke my leg on the ice, then I don't really mind. I was rubbish, and I deserve to go.
In comparison, it makes hosting winner-takes-all for 65 shows just mild by comparison. But there we are. That's the life of an entertainer who supports Tottenham Hotspurs.
The varied life of an entertainer. Of course, they're worse than that. Of course, I had to kiss Shirley from EastEnders when I was at EastEnders. Well, so that was pretty...
That was another sort of classic, because obviously your character, Vinnie Monks, in EastEnders, was one of those kind of classic lines. Let's just test the studio. Alan Armstrong, are you an EastEnders fan?
I'm more of a kind of Neighbours fan.
More of a Neighbours fan. Okay.
I like my Aussie soaps.
Laura Mahoney, EastEnders fan?
I can't say that I am. I'm sorry.
What can I say? I mean, you sometimes can't get the co-presenters, Bobby, but never mind. You know, the fact of the matter is...
Quality
stuff there. I'll go to Alan to start off with. Alan, if you just move a bit closer to the microphone there. Have you got any questions you want to put to Bobby Davro about life, the universe, and what he might have made of a 12th century priory that's just been reformed into a new art zone?
Sure.
I don't think he was expecting that question. I'll just explain for the benefit of the listener and yourself, Bobby. We haven't gone completely surreal, but Alan is actually responsible for a complete refurbishment of the Lincoln Priory. Is that correct?
Yeah, the Priory, yeah.
Is that where you go when you've got some problems with drink and drugs?
Maybe 800 years ago, yeah. I think we've got some more updated facilities now.
The Priory.
It's all very good. But by the end of this show, we'll get it sorted out and put together on that particular basis. Pantomime in itself, as you said, you know, sometimes we think it's just for Christmas. No, it's for all year round, etc. What have the audiences been like? I mean, is it a case that sometimes you thought, why are we doing this afternoon performance, or have they actually responded positively to you?
Well, they've responded in a very positive way. It's wonderful. The wonderful thing about any form of family entertainment, which a pantomime is, that you can bring your young children, your teenagers, your mums and dads, and your grannies and granddads, and have a kind of good day out with the family. And that is a very rare thing.
working now in theatre and in entertainment. You know, it's all well and good me. I spend most of the year telling slightly risque jokes, standing up and being an adult stand-up comedian, stroke entertainer, singer. It's so nice to come out and entertain the families, because I'm a family man.
Exactly, and I have to say, it was interesting when we spoke to your personal assistant on this tour, Will Smith. I thought, goodness me, hasn't he changed since he was in Men in Black, you know, with Tommy Lee Jones? Yeah, I didn't actually mention that to him, but we are actually grateful because Will Smith has provided the phone by which we can connect with Bobby today.
Excellent stuff.
So a little acknowledgement from that sort of point of view. I've got to ask you, Tottenham Hotspurs, do you feel as though the wheels have come off since Harry Redknapp?
Oh, stop it. I'm going to name drop here. I was in Bournemouth the other day, and yeah. I went down to Bournemouth. I'm friends with Harry, and we went for dinner. And I told him specifically, over dinner, I said, Harry, now, I'm a Tottenham man, I've been a Tottenham man ever since I was a young lad. And I said, we expect to lift the cup and make third place and beat the great Arsenal. But, of course, I don't know if it's going to happen. I've just put the phone down to my brother, who's almost a season ticket holder. He goes all the time. I mean, I know quite a few people from Spurs, from the old days, and modern players. And, of course, Harry and I play golf, and I'm quite friendly with Harry. And I told him distinctly, never mind the England job, get Spurs into Europe and lift the cup this year.
It's
not looking good at the minute.
I was going to say, Bobby, you might even be able to recall people such as Martin Peters, Alan Gilzean, and Martin Chivers.
Martin Chivers, well, I know Martin well, and I know a lot of them. In fact, I tied the shoelaces the other day to... who did I meet at Chelsea? I went up to Chelsea and watched the Chelsea-Tottenham game. And Peter Lorimer, there you go.
Indeed. Who never played for Spurs, but played a lot for Leeds. There we are.
It's not the right one, then. It's the Tottenham, the famous... I'm getting confused now. The famous Tottenham lad. He had a sport chop. Famous sportsman.
We'll throw that out as a competition.
I'm getting confused, but he was there in the foyer and I tied his shoelace.
Well, yeah, what can I say? I mean, a true revelation.
Bobby,
when the tour is finished, I can sense a whole new series now. Probably, actually, we can actually put it down and get it together. You actually host the history of Tottenham Hotspurs as seen by Bobby Davro. It's classic stuff.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the scarecrow doesn't have a brain.
We'll get that clarified in all sorts of ways. Still to come on the show today, we'll be going to Nashville, Tennessee. We'll be going to Los Angeles for their Celebrity Association Bar Lawyer of the Year. In fact, the Lawyer of the Year. We're also going over to Los Angeles for Andrew David. But I need to ask you those last two questions, Bobby, in a very hectic time, because I know you're on stage, what, in about 2 hours from now?
No, in about half an hour. I'm sitting in Wetherspoon in the middle of York.
Let's just sort of get these two questions out of the way. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the midweek drive today with Siren FM?
Have I really enjoyed it? It's been terrific. Absolutely great. Despite watching Michael Parkin say, you're over 50, then you're thinking you're dying, you get a few Parker pen. I hate that advert.
It's not good, is it? I know. There's another line entirely with respect to that.
What's the other question?
Well, the other question, apart from reminding people that if you Google Wizard of Oz, find out where it's on tour, you can find them up in Darlington and all sorts of other places, currently in York, but can we prevail upon you to join us again in the not-too-distant future for a slightly longer, more kind of informative Bobby Davro time?
Any time, and I promise I'll find out who that footballer is I tied shoelaces at Chelsea.
It's like an EastEnders climax, isn't it? You know, who was that footballer? Boom, 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 boom.
Ding, 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 ding. Indeed.
The button.
guest Bobby Stavro in a pub in York. Extraordinary. What better way can you actually have to actually act as a warm-up person for the next legend who's joining us from his current base, his annual little trip, really, to Shea, California, and Shea David, etc. Of course, we say managing editor of Siren and top BBC correspondent of the 20th century, Andrew David. Are you there?
I am. Top BBC correspondent of the 20th century.
Well, you are. Yes. You know, I mean, because... in the 21st century, you're Siren's managing director. You know, it's just getting important.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah, we're getting clarity through that point of view. Andrew, first of all, how's it going? Whereabouts are you?
In a place called Cottonwood, which is at an elevation of about 4,000 feet. It's to the north of Phoenix. We're in Arizona. To the north of Phoenix and to the south of a place called Flagstaff, not too far from a place called Prescott, where there's a very interesting radio station where the music, instead of being right up front and giving it some welly, is they advertise it's cool, it's relaxed, it's laid back, music literally to fall to sleep to. Now, seeing as a lot of people who listen to the radio listen in their cars for driving music, we all thought there ought to be a strict line: do not listen to this radio station if you are driving or operating heavy machinery.
Yeah, I don't think the sponsors would like that too much, though, Andrew. You know, just a routine there. Yeah. You could slice out a whole keep a range of their audience. But as we've often said, you don't have to be driving to listen to the Midweek Drive. It's a state of mind as opposed to a radio show, which is classic stuff. As we mentioned in the studio, and we just had a quick hello from him earlier, we have a fine young man who is indeed a graduate of the University of Lincoln Fine Arts School, of course, Alan Armstrong. Alan, you graduated in 2007.
Yes, I did. 5 years ago. Though.
5 English years ago. And since then, you have gone through a whole range of things, including coming back to Lincoln to help energise the arts scene here. And this is I mean, Andrew's missing this in the States. You know, tomorrow, the 12th of April 2012, Lincoln's Greyfriars Building will be reopening its doors as a new contemporary art space and artist studios. Is this not right?
That's quite true, yeah. The building's 800 years old, and it's been derelict for 8 years since the City and County Museum moved out. And they moved up the hill into their new build, nice shiny new building, the collection. And it's been derelict ever since. And we're reopening the building for the first time in 8 years. As a new curatorial art project.
Which is genuinely wonderful. But as I said to Jeff Thompson on his We're Halfway There show this morning, what if we can actually channel those 12th century monks? And what would they think about all these artistic things? Well, we just heard Bobby Davro thought it was like a drying out clinic for celebrities. Priory, Friary, I don't know. What's happening
on
here?
Well, it's pretty easy to research the past couple of hundred years, but going back 800 years, it gets a lot more difficult.
That's why I thought you were a historian.
When the Friaries,
then he tells me he's an arts graduate.
When they first settled in Lincoln, it's difficult to get any accurate information.
Well, it's just part of the reason why Americans love Lincoln, as I'm sure Andrew David will be saying on a regular basis. Americans, they just love Lincoln and they love Siren FM.
We've been selling the praises of Lincoln as much as we possibly can. We first of all have to describe to almost everybody here that our accent is not New Zealand or Australian. They look at us slightly quizzically and say, where are you from? And then we have to say Lincoln, and that sort of vaguely rings a bell, but probably for political reasons rather than anything else. And then we say, we're about 120 miles north of London, still nothing. We're not ever so far away from Nottingham and Sherwood Forest. Oh, yes, they say. And at that point, suddenly the bells ring.
Lincolnshire.
So positioning is all. Do you want, you know, everybody's into strap lines, and I'm sure the fine arts place will be into the best, the most beautiful, the most wonderful stuff to see in Lincoln. Well, the end of the... You know, we take Sky Radio News on Siren FM. Over here, there's Fox Radio News, which all the stations take. And at the very end, they say, we report, you decide.
Yeah, well, there we are. You see, that's democracy in action in so many ways. So we're concerned.
Well, something in action.
Yeah, exactly. Andrew, last week you said to me that you'd actually just visited the place that Walter Cronkite was responsible for, at least his name was there. Walter Cronkite, of course, who, as you correctly reminded me, was the person who didn't cry when he announced the death of President Kennedy, but he actually just wiped what might have been a tear from his glasses.
Indeed. The Walter Cronkite School of Journalism is part of the Arizona State University, and it has moved from the main campus in Arizona, which is a place called Tempe, in Phoenix, I should say, a place called Tempe, which has something like 70,000 students. That's, what, two-thirds the size of Lincoln. That's the size of the campus. It's moved into downtown area, which puts it next to all the major core buildings, council buildings. And it's in an absolutely glorious environment. Some of the most wonderful opportunities for students there to study alongside national broadcasting figures who come in to teach, which is fantastic. But the facilities there were extraordinary. I mean, we have terrific facilities in the UK, and particularly at Lincoln. But I have to say that, you know, with the name Walter Cronkite, they obviously wanted to make it look stunning. And the television studios and the radio studios and the facilities there were absolutely awesome. And, you know, to be in a place and actually to see the video, they've got a wonderful video in a museum of radio and print artifacts, and you'd love it there as well, because I'm sure there are microphones that you used in your early days, Alex. But they actually have this rolling video, and there was that iconic piece of television where Walter looks up at the camera and announces that on the wires we understand that President Kennedy died. And then he takes his glasses off and swallows hard and looks up at the clock, and he said, and that was 33 minutes ago. One of the most extraordinary pieces of broadcasting. And as well as people saying they knew where they were when Kennedy was shot, they will also almost to a person say, and we heard it from Walter Cronkite. And he had a wonderful voice. And actually this week also some sad news that one of the anchors of a big program over here called 60 Minutes, which was one of the big flagship interview programs, everybody who wanted to be on it tries to get on it. Mike Wallace, who was a really gruff voice, one of those wonderful American plenty of gravitas type reporters, he died at the age of 94.
And also featured in this week's Chilpack Hollywood celebrity deaths earlier today, which we'll talk about with Phil Leonis in the second hour of the programme. Gina, we've got so much Easter goodness to actually squeeze into the show, Andrew, after yourself. We've got Sarah Chase from Frankfurt am Main. We've got Cameron Tilbury from Nashville. We've got Lucy Parham from London, ace classical pianist. We've got Michelle Monroe. We've got the executive director of the Beverly Hills Bar Association discussing the Entertainment Lawyer of the Year event. Surely a misnomer. No, I'll say it again. The Entertainment Lawyer of the Year event. We've got to find out what intern Laura Mahoney's been actually doing with her time with the wonderful Lincoln Arts world of... is it Mistaken Presence?
I mean, Mistaken Presence is the name of the curatorial project.
Right.
But it's Mistaken Presence at Greyfriars.
Mistaken Presence at Greyfriars. See, I'm thinking Greyfriars Bobby here. I'm thinking Edinburgh, but no. It's a different line entirely, you see. Philippa, would you like to throw those last two questions in your own inimitable way towards Andrew David?
Have you had a relatively interesting telephonic conversation with us today?
I certainly have.
Good. And can we look forward to hearing you from the near future?
You can. And can I leave you with a few bon mots heard on another radio station? Okay. God is good, beer is great, and people are crazy.